Permits to carry weapons have risen dramatically in Iowa. This hour, we attend a women-only gun training class in Hiawatha. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, we continue our series focusing on guns and gun culture. We examine the implications of Iowa's new Stand Your Ground laws by taking you to a permit to carry class. 13 Iowa women attended the recent class. Many of them had never fired a gun. Now they were being trained to carry a weapon in public and to use it, if need be, in self-defense. We'll hear from several of the students and from their instructor.
You have to understand that if you're going to put a gun on and you're going to use a gun in self-defense, what that really means is you're going to pull the gun out and you're going to aim it at another human being and you're going to shoot them.
When and how to use a gun in self-defense. First, this news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Valley View Village, an adult community offering a complete continuum of care including independent living, assisted living, skilled and long-term care. Learn more about this community at valleyviewvillage.org.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today we continue our summer series focusing on guns and gun culture. Permits to carry guns have risen dramatically in Iowa in recent years. According to numbers collected by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Iowa has issued more than 375,000 weapons permits since 2011. This doesn't include professionals who are required to carry weapons, such as police or corrections officers. This hour, we listen to excerpts from a recent visit producer Emily Woodbury and I made to a women-only gun training class held at Midwest Shooting, Inc. in Hiawatha. We wanted to find out why the 13 women in this particular class, many of whom had never shot a gun, now wanted to carry a weapon in public, and whether they were prepared to use it to kill someone in self-defense. You have to be at least 21 years old to acquire a permit to carry in Iowa, but we found women of all ages were in the class, women in their 20s to women in their 60s. The permit to carry they were training for meant they could carry a weapon openly or carry weapons concealed under clothing. In attending the class, we also wanted to examine the implications of Iowa's new Stand Your Ground laws. We'll hear from the instructor in a moment, but first, a few words from a mother and a daughter we found sitting in the back of the classroom. They asked to remain anonymous. I asked them why they came to Midwest Shooting to obtain training for their permit and to buy firearms.
I want to be able to protect my family, and we've had several situations in our family that have been scary and situations where I felt vulnerable, and I just think it's important to exercise that right to bear arms and protect us and our family.
Okay, now to the daughter, your thoughts?
About a year ago, I was held up at gunpoint at my job, and I'd like the opportunity to be able to protect myself and my family. I have an 8-month-old son, and I can't imagine anything happening to him.
Was your thinking about guns in our society and the right to carry guns different before you were actually held up at gunpoint?
I guess I never put much thought into it before that, but then having a gun held up to me, it made me think that they can be scary and they can be used for good too.
Yeah, you can protect others. I mean, if you see people in situations that they need help, then, you know, it's like we had somebody walking around in our backyard, and we live out in the country. He's just walking around. There's no other neighbors. He's just walking around in our backyard, and he won't leave, you know, and there's a situation. We had people come to our door, and they would not leave the front door when my son was home. And finally, my son just basically lied to him and said, "I'm getting my gun, and I'm calling the sheriff. Get off our property." You know, we live rural, so it's I think it's even more scary. Well, I think there's parts of the town that's scary too, but I think that, you know, there's just a lot of stuff going on in our society that we need to be prepared to take care of our family.
This class satisfies the training requirements specified in Iowa code. The first couple of hours are spent in the classroom dealing with a myriad of things you need to know if you plan to carry a weapon: the responsibilities, the mindset, the legalities of carrying a firearm. Wade covers the use of reasonable and deadly force laws, the consequences, legal and otherwise, of using a firearm in self-defense. Also, considering the new Stand Your Ground laws. Also, where you can and cannot carry, what you can carry, when you can and cannot legally carry. Also, the degree to which Iowa's permit to carry is recognized by other states. Later, participants step out of the classroom and into the force simulator in the next room. It's a simulator that puts you in a realistic, real-time threat scenario. This is to test how you will react. But first, still in the classroom, Wade wants to make sure they consider one very important question.
The first question we want to ask before you carry, put the gun on, is, are you willing to kill somebody? Because that's ultimately what we're talking about. Please understand that what we're getting here is what you're getting a training in order to obtain your Iowa permit to carry. It is a permit to carry firearms. It is not a permit to shoot people. Shooting people is illegal. They frown upon that. If you shoot somebody, you're going to be investigated. Whether you're right or wrong, you're going to be investigated. We'll cover that in detail later. But ultimately, you have to understand that if you're going to put a gun on and you're going to use a gun as self-defense, that's what that really means is you're going to pull the gun out and you're going to aim it at another human being and you're going to shoot them. You have to be prepared to do that. And you have to decide these things up front. Because, you know, if you pull your gun out, if you're scared to death, you have a fraction of a second to decide. You have to pull your gun out and use it. If you have that discussion or the moral decision at that point in time, you're going to hesitate and you're going to lose. The two biggest deciding factors on your success and the two biggest things that you're going to struggle with as a concealed carry holder is hesitation and getting your gun out of the holster. Those two things take time, and time is something you simply don't have. You must decide whether or not you're willing to kill somebody up front. Again, we're not pre-programmed to do this. We're not born with the ability and the desire to kill other people, unless you're a sociopath. Any sociopaths in here? Anybody? Okay, that's good. I wouldn't sign your permit.
Another question instructor Wade Puffer wants participants to ask themselves: who are you willing to kill for, to defend?
Again, we have an instinctual need to survive. We'll defend ourselves. We have an instinctual desire to save our children, and so we'll defend our children. You know, but when you start expanding beyond your family, you have to start thinking, do I really want to defend them? So you have to give careful consideration on who you're willing to kill for. Sometimes we get some of the younger guys, they're thinking they're going to want to patrol Lindale Mall for ISIS terrorism. And that's just sort of silly. that's not a real good reason to have a permit. The other thing you have to start thinking about is, where are you willing to shoot somebody? And that will help dictate where you carry a gun. Again, we all think of laying in our bed at night, in our home, somebody invading our home in the middle of the night. It's very easy to imagine ourselves shooting somebody coming into your bedroom, shooting somebody coming down your hallway to try to get your children. What about if you're out shopping? You know, are you willing to shoot somebody at Walmart or Target or Hy-Vee or something like that? Are you willing to shoot somebody at one of your social events? You know, you're at your company picnic, are you willing to shoot somebody there? Or think about if you're a church person, do you go to church, are you willing to shoot somebody at church? You know, these are the kind of things you have to decide, because ultimately that will dictate where you're going to carry your gun. If you're not willing to shoot somebody in a place, don't take your gun. That seems fairly common sense, but sometimes common sense seems to be a scarce commodity these days.
Several times throughout the day, Wade stressed to the class they need to consider the consequences of shooting someone, including how they'd be perceived by lawyers, a jury, or a judge. Here's a scenario he used to help the class understand why this has to be considered ahead of time.
Reese, stand. Okay. It always helps when the person I choose is shorter than me. I want you to all imagine that you're police officers in a squad car, okay, and you're called to a shooting. When you get to the shooting, I'm standing here. You're all amped up because you're coming to some place where somebody shot somebody. I'm standing there with a gun, and Brees is laying on the ground bleeding. And I'm frantic, and I said, my God, she said she was going to beat the hell out of me and rape me, so I shot her. Do you believe me?
Right.
So you're thinking, why believe? Would you think, why don't you believe me?
Because it's reasonable to assume you could have taken care of that without a gun.
Right. Because you think, because we have a male-female difference. She's younger. She's quite a bit younger than I am, so we don't really have an age. You know, the age difference isn't necessarily in my favor either. But you're thinking, what you're doing is, look at me. I'm a giant guy. You're looking at me and you think, geez, if I was your size, and you don't need a firearm to defend against her, right? That's what you're thinking. That's what we all think. You know, and that comes into play. You're going to go, well, I don't think he really needed to shoot her. He could have just, you know, pushed her down or done, you know, you would think of all these other things. But same circumstance, it's reversed. Okay, you come to the shoot, I'm laying there bleeding because Bree said, well, he was going to beat the hell out of me and rape me. Could she have defended herself with her bare hands against me?
No.
Could she get away?
No.
Maybe. No. When I say get away, could she get out that door right now?
No.
No, I'd reach over, grab her hair, yank her right to the ground. Okay, you don't think about being nasty, do you? Okay, that's really mean and nasty. I reach over, grab her hair, yank her to the ground. Do you think somebody that you're going to face is going to be polite and nice to you? You know, they're going to do the quickest, most expedient thing they know how to do in order to do that. And other people often just take pleasure in your pain. So again, you're thinking with her, she's not going to be able to defend herself against me without some sort of equalizer, right? And so if she shot me, would you think it was more justified than if I had shot her? Because you're looking at her and you're going, well, geez, she's, you know, 5'5" and a third of my weight. And, you know, there's no way. If you were in her shoes, would you be able to defend against me? And that's ultimately what you have to consider. Thanks. And that's why we have the firearms. Because the firearms takes no strength to operate. It takes very little skill. You know, back prior to firearms, the people who won the battles were the most skilled and the strongest. So unless you're the strongest and or the most skilled, you're not going to win a physical battle with somebody. But a firearm, you don't have to be the strongest. You don't even have to be the most skilled. That firearm will kill just as effectively in a novice's hands as it will in an expert's hands. And that's what gives you, you know, as carry holders, you know, a level playing field, at least a level playing. I'm not going to say an advantage. It gives you a level playing field.
I'm Ben Kiefer, and you're listening to a special edition of River to River. I'm at a recent women-only permit to carry class in Hiawatha. Class instructor and gun shop owner Wade Puffer is taking the class through what they'll need to know as permit carriers and possibly firearms carriers in the state of Iowa. One main focus of the class is what participants need to know about how Iowa's new Stand Your Ground law is enforced. The law passed during the 2017 legislative session and went into effect in April.
We don't have any court cases as of yet that have finished out to determine any of some of the fine-tuning of this. But essentially what the Stand Your Ground law says is if you're not engaged in illegal activity and you're lawfully present someplace, you do not need to leave just because a crime is being committed. So if you're there legally, you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have to leave in order to avoid using force. You can stay there. Previously to this, the law stated that you must retreat unless retreating would put you in danger. So there was a quasi duty to retreat. There is no duty to retreat now. So if you are lawfully present or engaged in a lawful activity, you do not have to leave to avoid criminal activity. You can stand your ground. Whether or not you do or not, or should or not, is going to be up to you. And there's a certain amount of weighing the consequences for your actions.
Wade clarified that a person is presumed to be reasonably justified to use deadly force in certain situations. If someone's entering your home, place of business, or occupied vehicle. If you're being removed from some place, in other words, a kidnapping. To prevent a forcible felony, such as a rape, a violent crime, robbery, a home invasion. And if you're trying to come to the assistance of a person under these conditions. He also mentioned that use of deadly force to prevent property loss is not covered under Iowa's new law. Well, now it's time to step into the next room to try out the gun shop's use of force simulator, designed to put participants in situations where they may or may not feel the need to use deadly force. The entire far wall displays various threat video simulations. The subject being tested stands in the middle of the room, armed with a real Glock 17 semi-automatic pistol, initially in a holster. For this simulation, it's been loaded with CO2 cartridges. Overhead, a device monitors the subject's movements and possible shooting to make the subject part of the real-time scenario on the screen.
Come on in, Ben, and we close the door, please.
Yes.
All right. See this camera that's right up here above her? You can move anywhere forward of this or around, so you can move anywhere in the room. The scenarios are interactive, okay, so they don't have the same outcome necessarily. So depending on what you act, what you say to it, what you do, they can have different outcomes. And the goal with these are to survive. So in this particular scenario, you are leaving work and heading out to your car. So let's first of all, let's go back. Was she justified in shooting him?
Yes.
Okay, so how did he what's the criteria?
Aim.
Right. How did he demonstrate, what was his means?
By hollering at me.
What did he holler at you?
I don't know.
So again, what we're seeing nervousness, okay? She was doing it, and we're seeing the nervousness of the situation. So what did he say to her? So that was intent. If you did not give him your keys, what do you think was going to happen to you?
He probably would have jumped out at me or shot me.
Okay, he might have shot you, right? Because he was doing what? What was his means?
He had a gun.
And he was in handgun range, right?
Right.
So
yes.
He had ability, intent, and means.
Yes.
Okay, so was she justified?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, what was her problem? No, she couldn't get the gun out of the holster.
Yeah.
Remember I said earlier in the class, most people carrying a gun can't get it out of their holster? This is why. They don't practice. Take a look at this holster. It's a level 2 retention holster. There's a button on it.
Yeah.
So many people come in, they buy a gun, they buy a holster, they put the gun in the holster, they put it on, and they walk around in public. They never practice taking the gun out of the holster. You know, she didn't get killed, fortunately. She did well. Let's see where she hit. Yep, shot him right in the face. But again, you were aiming. You weren't really aiming, were you?
No.
You're just pulling the trigger. You got lucky.
Wow.
She did pretty well. 2 out of 3 hits. What's behind him? The windows, right? Realistically, we're not going to see that, but you have to understand that at this range, where's the handgun? If the bullet hits him in the chest, where's the bullet going? It's going straight through him. And so if you send a bullet into the window, you're still responsible for it. You know, I mean, the police are not criminally liable for it. The county just has to use our taxpayers and pay off the people whoever they're shot. But you're criminally liable for it. If you peg one of your coworkers because you shot through the window. But again, realistically, we'll never see that. We won't have the cognitive ability to see that. But there's danger everywhere. There's liability everywhere. You know, that bullet is just, can just be nothing but liability.
What if you just throw your keys and run? I mean, what are your chances there?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you do that. You do that. You take the chance, right?
Yeah.
It could get rid of him, and you got off cheap.
Yeah.
Or may not. You know, he might use it to take you with him. Yeah. All right, who wants to go next? Okay. This one here, this scenario here, you're walking into a bank, okay? You're going to go up to the teller station in the bank.
Hi, how are you? Oh. Oh, who'd have thought?
Wow. Okay, he killed you.
He killed me dead.
Yeah, me killed you.
Oh my God.
Your heart pumping?
Oh yeah.
So you're gonna shoot the poor guy in the back?
Okay.
There's second one, third one, fourth, fifth. But see how this could be problematic too. And how's that gonna look when she shoots him in the back? But on this one, he's committing a forcible felony.
Yeah.
Certainly murder is a forcible felony.
Should I have escaped? Should I just turned around and left in that scenario?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing where people, the biggest thing people make mistakes in is they just freeze. It's that hesitation. And one of the things they condition you in the military to, and this is something I take to heart with this, is that they teach you to, you've all seen war movies, right? You hear the whistling of the artillery shell. What do all the people do? They hit the ground, right?
Yeah.
So do the same thing. Get behind something that will stop a bullet. Get behind something that creates some distance from you, and it keeps you protected and gives you time to decide what to do. It gives time to get the gun out. To your lower right on this here, there's a table. See the table there?
Yeah.
That'd probably stop a bullet, wouldn't it? Because to have a gunfight with this guy, you're going to lose. He's in that port. Yeah, he's behind cover. To hit him would just be sheer luck, and you're standing out in the open. So we're all second guessing her now. Okay, look, we're all second guessing her. We saw the same thing at the same time. We're second guessing her, but she's the one that had a half second to decide.
I also have a chance to try out the simulator. It definitely gets your adrenaline up and really puts your nerves on edge. In my scenario, a man in a park approaches me. He's acting oddly, and he doesn't respond to my questions. And he has a German shepherd on a leash.
Keep your dog away from me. Keep your dog away from me.
Suddenly, he reaches behind his back for something and releases the dog. The dog makes a beeline for me and attacks. I've lost.
Okay, you're just got your leg torn off by the dog.
Okay, so the man set his dog. He was standing at, 20 yards from me. He acted strangely and then released his dog, which came charging at me, and there's practically no time to react to that.
Right. This is a difficult scenario. I mean, number one is that you have to identify the proper threat. We're already pre-programmed to believe that the person is the threat, and in this case, it was the dog that was the actual threat. The other thing that happens is, in this scenario, that makes it incredibly complicated and difficult, is we're more likely to be willing to shoot another human than we often are to shoot a dog. And
why would that be?
I have more people in here we have police, canine type scenarios too. People are more apprehensive to shoot at a dog, even on a video screen, than they are willing to shoot at a person.
Well, I mean, a dog is a faster moving animal.
That's the other challenge you have in this particular scenario is you have to get the dog. And it's a moving target, and moving targets are very difficult. Especially you'll be moving, the dog will be moving, it's a very hard target. This is a very difficult scenario.
Wade tells me it's one of the most challenging scenarios in the simulator. Well, the simulator makes it clear to all who use it the daunting challenges of sizing up a threat and then deciding whether to draw your weapon and use it, all within a few seconds. Coming up after a short break, I'll talk at length with Midwest Shooting, Inc. instructor Wade Puffer and with some of the participants in this recent day-long Permit to Carry class held in Hiawatha. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Welcome back midstream in this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us this week for our series focusing on guns and gun culture here in Iowa. As I mentioned at the outset of the program, permits to carry guns have risen dramatically here in Iowa in recent years. According to numbers collected by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Iowa has issued more than 375,000 weapons permits. That's since 2011. And this doesn't include professionals who are required to carry weapons, such as police or corrections officers. This hour, we're listening to excerpts from a recent visit producer Emily Woodbury and I made to a women-only gun training class. It was held at Midwest Shooting, Inc. in Hiawatha. During the day, we spoke with several of the participants about why they wished to obtain a permit to carry. Here's Brees Headland of Cedar Rapids on why she's taking the class.
To be honest, my entire family is pro-gun, and they have been taking courses like this for years. And I felt like with their knowledge that they have taught me, I still could use a little bit more. And so I wanted to take this before I decided to get my permit.
So you grew up firing guns with your
yes.
family. Yeah.
Yes.
So when was the first time you fired a gun?
I was about 12 years old, and it was a 12-gauge Remington 870 shotgun.
Okay. So is there anything that's happened to you or your family that convinces you you need to carry?
Nothing that I can say would be actually a convincer for me to purchase a permit. However, my family has experienced, I'd say, events that have convinced themselves that they would need one.
Mm-hmm. So, anything you want to go into?
Basically, my mother was in an abusive relationship at one point in her life, and it was not safe for her at all. Mm-hmm. And so for her to get out of it, she had to go through quite a bit of secretive legal things in order to make sure that he did not find out. And if he would have found out, she felt like he was going to threaten her life.
Mm-hmm. Brees, what comes to mind when I ask you to imagine a situation where you will want to have a weapon on yourself?
Throughout my life, I have worked a lot of second shift jobs. Second shift goes from mid-afternoon to late at night. And come the future, I plan to open a business one day. And before this business is open, I expect to be working very late nights, and I could be by myself. And personally, I don't want to be by myself without some sort of protection.
Mm-hmm. Are you convinced at this time that, given that the situation would be permissible by law, that you could shoot and kill someone?
I think I could. If I honestly felt that my life was in danger or somebody that I was around was in danger, then yes, I think I could.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a big debate in our country about guns and gun control, gun legislation, right to carry guns, and so forth. Do you think more guns make a society safer or less safe?
I cannot accurately answer that at this point. I've been told of situations where it was necessary, and I've also been told of situations where it was unnecessary. I believe that somebody's preference onto whether or not they carry or to whether or not they don't even touch guns is completely up to them. Now, I do believe everybody should have the right to choose so. It should not be somebody else's decision to say, no, you are not allowed to have one. It should be somebody else's choice to say, I don't care.
Brees, so if we encounter each other in some months or some weeks in a parking lot and outside a store or something like that, will you be carrying?
I personally feel like I need a little more practice before I consider completely carrying at 24/7. Now, if in a month I feel I've determined myself to have enough practice, and I am, let's say, I guess, very familiar with my own firearm, then yes, I will probably be carrying.
Mm-hmm. Unlike Brees Headland, Melissa Perry of Cedar Rapids wasn't sure she'd carry a firearm with her in public to various places, but she knew she definitely wanted it for home protection.
I actually had my carry permit, but it expired back in March, so I'm retaking this class. I got mine 5 years ago, and it's kind of a funny story. I never bought a gun, never did. And the day before it expired, I'm like, I probably should just go get a gun, just have the house just in case. And the next day, my house got burglarized.
Where do you live?
Lincoln Way Village area over by Kirkwood. After that happened the next day, I'm like, maybe I should get my permit back.
So what is the situation you imagine using your gun with the skills that you learned in this class?
I want mine basically for home safety. Just that kind of incident scared me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How do your family or your loved ones feel about you carrying a weapon?
I don't think they have an opinion either way. I don't think they really know that I'm... I haven't really had that discussion with them. It's not their business. I guess I would do it either way, so...
Do you have any doubt that under the right circumstances, according to law, under threat, that you would be able to shoot someone, to kill someone?
I think I could under the right circumstances.
Those right circumstances would be?
At home. Like, so that's the main reason I got it, is for home protection. I don't know that I would carry in public, but you never know, and I don't think it hurts to have the ability to do so if I chose to.
Do you get a sense that our culture and society, our attitudes towards guns are changing in recent years, have changed in recent years?
Yeah, I actually used to work, it amazes me, I used to work for the county attorney's office, and everyone in that office seemed very anti-gun, like, with the exception of a few people. And I've always been more pro-gun. I think that in this society, with all the shootings in Cedar Rapids that you hear in the news, that, you know, you're not really safe. You don't know what's going to happen. You could walk anywhere and something could happen. I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want my kids to be a statistic.
If you've just joined us, I'm Ben Kiefer, and it's a special edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News as part of IPR's Gun Series airing this week. Producer Emily Woodbury and I visited a women-only permit-to-carry class to understand why Iowans in increasing numbers are obtaining their weapons permits. I finished the day talking with the instructor, Wade Puffer, about what he's noticed in his years of teaching this course. This is a women-only class that you had here. Why did you feel the need to offer that?
One of the things we see, women versus men, is women have a higher degree of anxiety. You know, one of the things that we really try to provide is that confidence that they can make the decision, the confidence that they know how to what to look for, to try to be more situationally aware, the confidence to pick up a firearm and actually fire it. And I think you guys saw some of that today, a lot of the apprehension going into the range. And then you saw some of the exuberation and the excitement as they're coming out after they've actually fired a gun and hit where they're aiming at.
Now this, I'm thinking this is a more comprehensive permit to carry class than is offered. You could get a permit to carry an easier way online, perhaps even. What are your thoughts about that, about the level of instruction people are getting to acquire the permits?
Obviously, I believe anything is more. And, you know, we're a commercial outfit, so we're going to think ours is the best. You know, let's not make any bones about that. The online ones, I'm skeptical of.
You, as you clearly stated from right at the beginning of the class today, you're a gun advocate, owner of Midwest Shooting here. Are you satisfied with Iowa's new gun laws, which just went into effect?
There's, you know, it's like any legislation. We can find parts of it we are wholeheartedly agree with and some that we do not. One of the things, there's a lot of the stand your ground stuff I by and large agree with. Where they make the permit to acquire good for 5 years, I certainly agree with. I would have liked to have seen them take it away, because we can do a background, we can do a NICS background check and not have to require somebody to go to a sheriff and still achieve the same goal. I dislike that they took away the requalification requirement. Essentially right now, the permit is good for life. As long as you're renewing it within 30 days before and 30 days after, the permit is good for life. I'd like to see some sort of recertification or requalification at the beginning, or, you know, when you go to get a renewal permit.
What in particular over time would you want to see checked to get about a person or their skills?
The big thing we want to see is the firearm safety. Can the person that's carrying the firearm operate the firearm safely? Can the person load the gun, fire the gun, hit the target that they're aiming at most of the time without hurting themselves or hurting others? Just some of the basic operational things, I think, would be a very good thing to require people to demonstrate that they maintain that knowledge.
We've seen in the contentious nationwide debate about gun laws, mental health is a big facet here in gun laws. I'm wondering, since you've trained hundreds of students here at Midwest Shooting, do you have any kind of screening process? Have you ever had a red flag go up, had to notify anybody? Do you do that? Do you see that as any of your responsibility when you notice something maybe a little off?
Well, we do. When we think something is off, we do notify either the Hiawatha Police or the Linn County Sheriff or the ATF regarding whatever jurisdiction it falls in. A common thing that we notice is we'll have people reek of marijuana when they come in order to purchase a gun. And, of course, we deny the purchase of it. We take their picture off the security camera and we notify the law enforcement officials of that. Mental health is a lot harder. You know, we're not psychologists. We don't have the necessary training to determine all that, and we certainly can't read minds. We have turned people away that we did not feel were sometimes just not something right, or people who are advocating overt violence or just a bit off. Well, we denied. We did one about 2 weeks ago. We had a person that was in here that wasn't, he didn't seem to have all of these. A few bricks short of a load, if you know what I mean. And we denied the sale, and the person was very upset. And I don't know if he went to other places or gave up. I have no way of knowing.
What do you find are the biggest myths that people who perhaps don't know guns very well have about people who own guns and shoot guns and use guns?
I guess I see the people who don't own guns, I think the biggest myth is that everybody who has a gun is just out to shoot other people. You know, that just because you have the gun, there's a violent intention behind it. And I think hopefully you saw today that with the people in the class, there's a variety of people, variety of reasons for owning guns. And not everybody that has a permit or owns a gun is advocating shooting other people.
So what would you say to people who vehemently oppose further gun rights? We've seen gun rights in Iowa and across the nation move in the direction of fewer and fewer restrictions in recent years. Some people are, as you know, are very much opposed to that. What are the arguments you use to convince these people?
First of all, for self-defense, I'd advocate that having the gun will make me safer. It'll make the people around me safer, and that you can't always have law enforcement with you all of the time. And so it's a matter of, for self-defense, it's a matter of safety. The other thing that people don't understand is just sort of the culture of hunting or the culture of shooting, that if it's something that we've done in our families for generations and have some of the deep-seated family memories, deep-seated cultural references and memories of that, it's something the people that want to take it away want, they're attacking us or attacking our culture, attacking what we want to be able to do and to celebrate our freedoms.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you become a gun advocate, a gun enthusiast, a gun shop owner?
Well, I grew up hunting. My family has hunted for generations. And so it was one of the first things we did. As soon as you grew up, first thing you wanted to do is go hunting with dad and granddad. And that's just something we've done ever since I could walk. I mean, it's one of some of the earliest memories that I have. How I got a gun shop owner, I've always had a passion for it, had an entrepreneurial spirit, and just really wanted to try to run the business and try to provide something in the community that is not or was not provided.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever shot anybody in self-defense or otherwise?
No, I have not. I've been fortunate that I have not had to shoot anybody in self-defense.
Have you ever been in a situation where it was anywhere close?
I've drawn my gun on several people, and usually some here, I'm dealing in the parking lot outside before or after hours, and just a couple other places.
Can you tell me about an instance that happened?
Well, we had one of the things that we're concerned about is opening and closing. Our chances of being robbed in the middle of the day are slim to none. And all the employees are armed, all the customers are armed. It's a very polite place. But where we're very careful is opening and closing. And I had a young man follow me in into the parking lot we're on a dead end road here. Follow me down past where customers go to where the employees park, box me off so I couldn't get my car out. And so I was a little bit concerned that he was here, so I got out of the car and had him at gunpoint.
How did that end? What happened? What did you say?
Well, I just asked him why he what he was here for, and he just wanted to know when we were open. He was just, there was nothing, there was no ill intention at all. He was just wanted to know when we were open and didn't quite understand that how he appeared to other people, you know, and the threatening manner that he had come into.
Have any of your previous students here at Midwest Shooting Wade ever turned up in the news as successfully defending themselves from an assailant or perhaps, you know, making a poor decision when it came to using a weapon?
I haven't heard of any of that making a poor decision because I'm sure the news media would let us know right away. But as far as people, if people have used firearms to defend themselves, yes. I've not known anybody that's taken our classes that's actively shot people, but I know that one gentleman did use his firearm to stop a robbery in progress, so he was able to save a person from a robbery in progress with his firearm.
If you, Wade, could tell us or just go to the legislature and say, this is the way I'd like the gun laws in this state or this nation to be. Well, let's make it the whole nation because we're giving you all power over Iowa. Why not all power over the nation? What would you change about Iowa's gun laws now to make them perfectly, you think, suitable from your viewpoint?
The thing I'd actually change would be at the national level. And what I would want to see first and foremost is permit reciprocity. And that is the ability, if it's just like your driver's license. Your Iowa driver's license is good in Illinois. I would like to see the permits, the carry permits, be have reciprocity in other states as well. Because right now we have such a jumble of permits and where they're good, where they're not good. And I would just like to be able to travel from state to state and be able to defend myself regardless what state I'm in.
Mm-hmm. And that was really what impressed me about the class here. You showed the map of the United States, and you said, you know, there are websites you can go to that show every week weapon laws changing. If a restaurant or a bank puts a do not bring a firearm in here sign in their window, does that have force of law or not? It does in some states. It doesn't in other states. It is a confusing patchwork, isn't it?
It's very confusing, and we don't want to see people get caught up who are normally law-abiding citizens being caught up in a very serious crime just for something that is innocent, is not necessarily knowing that something has changed in a recent law.
Do you ever have students come to this class? And I guess, Wade, I don't know if overwhelmed is the right word, but you do take it very seriously. It is a very comprehensive class, learning about the laws, the decision-making, the operation of a weapon here. Do you ever have students who come here, sign up for this class, and then you have the distinct impression, maybe they tell you, maybe you just have the impression that they just say, this is not for me?
We have had students do that. They've either told me in the class or we've seen them with their spouses or something afterwards, and there are some people who take the class that decide not to get the permit.
And what has been the reason?
Some of the reason is the last one that happened, it was an older gentleman, and he just decided that he would not be willing to kill somebody. And so he was not going to get a permit to carry, that he was going to go about his business in another manner. The reason he'd been taking the class is he had two armed robberies in his home. And he was still, even with that, he was not willing to, he did not want to take another person's life. That's his right. You know, he got the information, he made a decision, and it's his choice.
So Wade, you have all kinds of customers, you have staff here. Can you tell someone's position on guns based on their politics?
Typically not. Just on my staff here, we have everything from an ardent socialist to an ultimate, you know, right winger, and everything in between. So the gun ownership doesn't really match up to people's politics. With our customer base, we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have Independents, we have the Greens, we have Libertarians, we have, again, all political spectrums. So the gun ownership really spans all the politics.
It's interesting. This is a hunter, specifically someone I know who is in his politics left-leaning, but a hunter, and actually doesn't like to talk about his gun enthusiasm very much because it's not very popular generally with his liberal crowd. Is that something you find too?
We see it all the time. In fact, in some of the carry classes that we've had, specifically in the women's only class, we've had women who want to make sure that the name is not going to be in the paper anymore because their husbands don't know that they're taking a weapons carry class or that they want to own a gun. And we have people that want to make sure that their coworkers don't find out that they own a gun. We have people that want to make sure that their other family, extended family members don't want to know that they own a gun.
Okay. Wade Puffer of Midwest Shooting, Inc. in Hiawatha. It's been a pleasure joining you for the day during this permit to carry class. And thanks for talking with us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ben. Glad to have you.
My conversation with Wade Puffer of Midwest Shooting, Inc. during my visit to his recent day-long permit to carry class held in Hiawatha. Remember, podcasting and on-demand audio of this and any other River to River show available at iowapublicradio.org. And make sure you check out some of the pictures and even short videos we took during this gun class at Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. And let us know what you think of this program in our gun series by dropping us an email. Send your feedback to rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. That's rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Today's program was produced by Emily Woodbury with help from Ben Stanton and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.